because this is not about magic. This is about something far beyond. This is not sleight of hand. This is not trickery. This is not cunningly devised fables. But they, the disciples, the apostles, they said, we've handled the word of life. We touched him who the scripture said was the word made flesh. Praise God. We handled a person who is the very word made flesh, the word of life. Praise God. Not a fable, not a fairy tale. Some people would love to turn it into fable so that none of it has any real relevance, but it's still quick and powerful, which is alive and so full of God's power. Hallelujah. Sharper than any two-edged sword today. So Brother Taylor doesn't have his fiddle today, and I told him, you're more important than your fiddle. Long as you're here, we're going to be fine. We love you today. We appreciate you. Amen. So God is good today, and others are still coming. Amen. We said we're not even going to talk about the Apostle Paul without somebody here from the Italian band. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're glad you're here today to celebrate Holy Communion with us before Christmas, to help us find the true meaning, the true joy, the true peace of Christmas. So much to say about Christmas. This is my 53rd, if I'm counting the time I've been pastor at the Holy Church of God. This is my 53rd Christmas celebration with people from the Holy Church of God. Amen. A lot of them have beat me to heaven. Amen. So, and this is my 53rd Christmas communion service, therefore. So, I've been doing this for quite some time. I'm not used to it. I haven't got over it. It hasn't got to be just some old story about Jesus and his... It's an old story, but it's not some old, antiquated, outdated story. It's relevant today, and in our day, the last days that we're living in, it's more relevant than it's ever been. Hallelujah. To find the peace and the power of this season in our own personal lives. So, Brother Taylor, would you just ask a blessing on the service today?
Father, we thank you for this day.
Yes, we do.
For health and strength, for your great love, your mercy. Thank you for your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord. Thank you for your mercies are renewed every morning, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, as we come to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord God. You seek such to worship you, Lord.
Yes,
help us to humble ourselves and deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow you, to be obedient to your voice, Lord, to keep your commandments. So have your way today, Lord. As we come to the communion table today, Lord God, oh, God, forgive us for our sins and all our wrongdoings. Restore us unto thee, Lord God. Oh, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to really know you and to obey you, to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord. Move in the service today. Have your way. Oh, God, let your perfect will be done. Bless at the Holy Church of God, but not only here, Lord. All over the world where your people are gathering together in your name to worship you in spirit and in truth. Where the gospel is being preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, Lord God. Meet the needs of your people, Lord. Help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for victory, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, and for the glory of God, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Let's worship him who Christmas is all about today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When you're reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, that enmity is broken down. God's anger is assuaged because it was poured out on Jesus in our behalf so that we could be reconciled unto God. Amen. And that's the wonder of this, that we can have a fellowship, even a friendship relationship with God. And beyond the fellowship and friendship, that we can have a familial, a family relationship of God. Paul looked at a congregation kind of like us, and we know the Lord. We thank God for what he's given in Christ and what Jesus has done for us. And Paul looked out at everyone, and he says, I don't know if you really get what you got. He didn't put it in those terms. That's a paraphrase. I don't know if you really get what you got when you have Jesus and you're reconciled to God. He said, what? Know ye not that you are the sons of God? It doesn't appear what we shall be, but right now you should get this great truth. You're no longer a stranger, an outsider. You have been brought into the royal family. And that it was an answer to the Lord's Prayer. Now you say, oh, a Lord's Prayer, now lay me down to sleep. No, that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's the child's prayer before you go to night-night time. And we kind of grow out of that. Amen. Heard of a lady who was with a co-worker. She said, what you got planned for the weekend? She said, well, it's Easter. I'm going to church. She said, I didn't even know you were a Christian. She said, oh, yes, I am. She said, I'll bet you $20 you don't even know the Lord's Prayer. She said, take your bet. Now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. She said, here's the 20. I didn't know you knew it. Can you say amen? Sometimes we don't get what we got. Amen? Now, having come to Jesus, repented of our sin, and received God's forgiveness, we've been reconciled to God, and He didn't stop with that. The Lord's Prayer, hallelujah, is in John's Gospel, where He said, Father, you know how I'm in you, and you're in me? He said, I want them that come to me to have that kind of relationship. I in you, and you in me. And is Christ where? In you. That is the hope of glory. Amen. And when we get saved, what happens? By the Holy Spirit, we are baptized into Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. To such a degree, spiritually, of identification with Him, that we become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Hallelujah. He said, Father, you know how you love me. He said, I pray that you will love them that come to me by faith with the same love wherewith you have loved me. How can that be? I'm not sinless. I am not sinful. Sin doesn't reign in my body, but I'm not sinless. Sometimes I get an attitude that I need to repent of. Has anybody ever got an attitude? Sometimes there's a... I wouldn't be looking at you if you hadn't been becoming so conspicuous over here. I'm not pointing fingers. I love you. She's being real honest today. We know each other enough to know that we all get attitudes sometimes. Amen. And we need to repent. How could He love us like He loves His Son, sinless, spotless, perfectly obedient Son? And yet He said, Father, that's how I want you to love. Say it with me. God has no stepchildren.
God has no stepchildren.
Hallelujah. Amen. I had a stepdad, but I don't have a stepdad now. I had a real dad, too. When I say real dad, he wasn't my stepdad. He's my DNA dad. Amen. But I've got a Heavenly Father now. Praise God. And I can call Him Abba Father. Amen. And I can call Him my friend. Abraham had a relationship with God through faith that he was called the friend of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's greater love, Jesus said, than this hath no man, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Praise God. You're my friends. Hallelujah. So we have a special relationship with the Lord today. We are the sons and daughters of Almighty God. Hallelujah. What a privilege and what an honor to be called the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, seated with Christ. What? Amen. Seated with Christ in heavenly places. If you look up seated with, it's not seated somewhere in the general vicinity. The actual Greek word is joint seating. We're not divine, we're debranch. Can you say amen? But we're connected to the vine to such an identifying way that we are seated with him, raised with him, buried with him, raised with him, seated with him, joined to him, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, inseparable. Praise God. If you want some homework, this is part of the sermon, by the way. We're moving toward communion. If you want some homework, find any place where a real born-again child of God is, after he comes to Christ, is ever separated from him. We're always with him. He's always with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a salvation today. If you don't know what you got, you can't appreciate what we're talking about. Hallelujah. But if you ever find out what you have, you won't be looking for crumbs under the master's table. Hallelujah. Even that can get you a wonderful miracle from God. But you'll pull your chair up to the table, because everything on that table that by covenant he has granted to us, amen, everything on that table is the children's bread. Possessively, every child of God has access to everything that the blood and broken body of Jesus has purchased for us. It's all on that table. We're not looking for crumbs under the table. We're pulling our chair up to the table today. The table of grace. Hallelujah. I love him today. We were singing on the way in about God's faithfulness. Praise God. He's a good and gracious God. Hallelujah. Be good enough and kind enough to serve us, amen, before we receive the symbols, the tokens, the representatives of his body broken, his blood poured out for you and for me. May I never lose the wonder of the cross. Never, ever lose the wonder of the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think there's a few more down here. Hold it. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember him at Christmas. If we miss him, we miss Christmas. There's no substitute for appreciating Jesus in this season. If we get too busy, too distracted to focus on him who is the author and finisher of our faith, our only hope of salvation, we will miss the whole point of Christmas, and as Christians, we dare not do that. Amen. We need to remember him giving his life for us. I have a message up on the Sunday morning sermon, about a 28-minute message, which for me is a very short message. But we try to cram as much as we can into that of truth for people looking for something more than the commercial part of this or even the holiday part of this. But people who genuinely want to embrace the holy day, not just the holiday. Now, I have a tree sitting in the corner of my home. It's a little tree. If it's a big tree, makes no difference. It's a tree, and there were pagans that put a base on a tree, brought it in their house, and bowed down in worship to it. I have never worshipped my Christmas tree. Amen. Never one time have worshipped it. If you want to really get into idolatry, it's not the tree in the corner of the room. It's the 100-inch TV in the center of the room. Fist bump over here. Some people are going to pick at everything we do. No matter what we do, we'll never be holy enough, pure enough. Does Christmas have pagan origins? You bet. Just about everything has pagan origins. Easter, Queen Esther. So, I mean, you know, and the rabbit and the eggs and the praying to false god for fertility, and, you know, that the crops would, you know, grow and all of that. Everything, if we leave it all alone, then the world will have all the pagan stuff and they'll never hear about Jesus. and what it's truly all about. I'm glad to hear in a store somewhere, amen, I'm glad to hear a song about the little town of Bethlehem. Oh, come, let it, those that will still play it. It's not politically correct. In any public place in England, they have banned any decoration this close to Christmas. They're at it again. They don't want the name of Jesus. You know, in Christmas, there's more than Kris Kringle. It's Christ Mass, Christmas. And that name is troubling. And the celebration of Jesus is troubling. Amen. Because, listen, you're going to meet him as your Savior. You're going to face him as your judge. If you fall on this rock, you'll be broken, heartbroken, and you'll call on the Lord, and he'll save your soul if you humble yourself. But upon whom this rock falls, if you face him as your judge instead of your Savior, it will grind him to powder. Now, normally we only hear one side of the coin. We hear about falling on the rock, humbling ourselves, being broken. But there are those that are so stubbornly proud, they resist and resent conviction. They do not want to humble themselves, confess their sin. There's denominations that don't want to talk about sinners in need of a Savior. You just get your free ticket to heaven and go to heaven. You don't have to deal with repentance or the forgiveness of your sin. And yet, he came into this world to save sinners from themselves, their sin, and Satan, who wants to destroy them. So, dear friends of mine, today, there's no way that I can have Christmas without thanking God for forgiving my sins. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me remind you, the focus is so easily broken. Did anybody see Jim Carrey in The Grinch? Nobody can replace him in The Grinch. Amen. You could dress me up in a Grinch suit, but I couldn't be The Grinch. He is the quintessential Grinch. I love at the end of that, there's a song plays. And I think about it a lot at the end of that movie, you know, crazy movie. Where are you, Christmas? There are people in this world right now that are searching for the real meaning, the real true spirit of Christmas. May I suggest to you, the real Christmas tree is not the one that we've decorated in our home or we see. The first and real and most relevant that would ever be Christmas tree, amen, was the wooden cross upon which Christ died. For the believer, there's nothing greater. And there should be nothing that takes our vision away from that. A man came to Jesus and came to a pastor during a communion service after it was over, because they talked about and sang about the cross. And it's Christmas. Joy to the world. Let's get some upbeat praise songs going here. Let's don't deal with him suffering and dying. Let me tell you something, that baby in that manger, if you focused on the manger, the baby in the manger can save absolutely nobody. As pure, holy, and perfect as that Christ child was, that Jesus in the manger could not save anyone. But when he grew to 33 years of age and let them put him on that cross and nail him to it and stay on it, amen, that man on the cross can save everyone who comes to him and repents of their sins. And after they do, our focus is no longer, oh yes, we acknowledge how important, had he not took on flesh and become in flesh, God incarnate in that manger, he could have never went to the cross. But if he didn't go to the cross, that baby could save no one. What was the angel message? Peace on earth. Goodwill. God wants to be reconciled. Hallelujah. Goodwill toward men. Was there peace on earth when he was born in Bethlehem? Any time since that, was there any peace on this earth? No. Did anyone have peace with God because he was born? No one. There's no salvation in the baby, but the man on the cross. That's why the devil is so afraid of the message, the true message of Christmas, that Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And there's no other name given under heaven to men by which we must be saved, save the name of Jesus Christ. He hates his name. He hates Christians because his name is associated, and we're associated with him. Hallelujah. But God loves you and me. I'm glad to be part of the persecuted remnant. Hallelujah. That still stand strong and stand true and stand up for Jesus Christ today. I'm glad to be counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Brother Venable, what have you suffered? Don't even get me started. Would you like to get out before 4 p.m? Amen. Listen, I'm not dwelling on that. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I appreciate every trial, every test, every setback, everything that the devil has thrown at me, because God has proven that his grace is, in fact, sufficient for me. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Venable, aren't you glad it's all behind you now? You're about ready to retire and sit in your rocking chair and write your memoirs. That's, you know, Miss Piggy's school of French. Every time I go to the bank with the joy of the Lord, I go and there's a PK. She's a big, strong, young, but a big gal. Amen. She's always there. I try to get her because we have a good time together. Her mama's bigger than her. And I always threaten. And I tell everybody at the bank, I said, if she gives you any trouble, just tell her mama. Her mama's a preacher, and she's a PK. So I always come in, and as I put the deposit up there, I said, I have a simple deposé. And when I say it right, I'll go and say, I have a simple deposit. She says, don't you mean a deposé? Amen. And we have a good relationship. I'm happy. It's not a put-on thing. I embarrass my wife. I'm so happy sometimes. It does. But you know what? Young people love me because normally a person my age is a grumpy old man. But I'm not grumpy. I'm an old man. I am an old man. I mean, I don't need... there's no point in denying it anymore. You don't have to be that enthusiastic about me being an old man. Amen. He said, he sure is an old guy. Look at him. But I've got something down on the inside of me that never ages. Inside this body, this bone bag called your human body, there is an eternal spirit. My spirit hasn't aged a day. Hallelujah. And the good news is my spirit is never going to age. My spirit is eternal, going to live somewhere forever. And because of the choice I made so many years ago, it's going to be heaven. Hallelujah. With him and with my loved ones. Hallelujah. God has been good to me. And God's going to give me a body to match my spirit when Jesus comes. Isn't that incredible? Your spirit is eternal. And he's going to give you a body for that spirit to inhabit when he changes this body. Amen. When he comes in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Hallelujah. Mortal, that can die, is going to put on immortality. And corruptible, that ages and shows the effects of aging, is going to put on incorruption. And in the spiritual sense, that part of us that is always battling with the flesh, that battle is going to be over. Because that corruptible part of us is going to be immediately changed to incorruption. We are not going to present ourselves to God, to Christ, in that condition. It said Jesus loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might present it unto himself, that he might present it unto himself, what we could never present ourselves unto him. A glorious church, not having one spot, one blemish, one wrinkle, or any such thing, but one, if you read it in the Greek, it's 100, it doesn't say 150, but that's what it connotates, 150% pure and holy. Well, can we be real honest here today? Not one of us, nobody in this room or any other room anywhere in the world is in that condition to sit at that table and eat that marriage supper and be united with him eternally and forever. But we have been made worthy, just like we're going to receive this communion. I'm going to pray, God, cleanse my heart, because I want to be clean. But I'll never be clean enough to be worthy of the shed blood of Jesus. But thank God, when it's applied to my life, I am worthy through the blood of Jesus for God to call me his son and to call you his son and daughter. Amen. And for us to acknowledge him as our father, and not just our father out of terms of respect, but out of intimacy and out of true fellowship. We cry, Abba, Father. In the Aramaic, It's the equivalent exactly of the first words, the easiest word. And I watch some little clips on YouTube sometimes when that child first recognizes who his daddy is. Amen. And he looks up, and you talk about a dad that's so thrilled to hear that. Amen. I remember, I don't think Pamela and I had those, you know, which one's going to get their tension first. Is he going to say mama or dada? Amen. It seems to me that most of the time, in all the clips I've seen, it's dada. I don't know what it is about the father, because the mother is the nourisher, the cherisher. But dada, dada. Who is that? That's my dada. And they come running when he got home from work, jump up in his arms. You know what God loves? He loves it when we get what we got. And we cry. We begin to cry with all the respect and honor that is due him. Hallowed be thy name, but my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Whom I know well enough and have been reconciled completely enough to him and brought into his royal family that I could cry, Abba. Abba. Now, I don't pray in Abbas, because I just, there's something about this reverence and respect. But in my heart, I know this God that I'm saying holy, holy, holy to is my Abba. My Abba Father. Because the moment we get it and we understand that and we grasp that, the Holy Spirit bears witness with the truth of it. I say, Abba, Father, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, says, that's the truth of your relationship. It's deeper than what most people conceive it and perceive it to be. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace. Doesn't that sound humble? I'm an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just an old, stinking, rotten, low-down, dirty, good-for-nothing sinner. But I've been saved by grace. No, no, no. Number one, you were a sinner. You have been saved by grace. Hallelujah. But sin is not supposed to reign in your mortal body, that you might obey it in the lust thereof. We've been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sin doesn't reign because Satan doesn't rule. I want to say that again. I feel an unction here. We're about to receive communion. Go home and listen. Sin doesn't reign because Satan doesn't rule. Can you say amen? Jesus is not just our Savior. He's our Lord and Savior. We've got a new master now. And we bow to Him willingly. We're glad that He is our Shepherd King. And we are the sheep of His pasture. And it gets personal. We're not just part of the herd. Look at somebody and say, we're not just part of the herd. We're the sheep of His pasture and the people of His hand. Glory be to God. I'm glad I'm not just, you know, one of the herd out there. And He's dealing with us as a herd. No. We are the people of His hand. Personal. Intimate. That's why He told ancient Israel with all their enemies surrounding them, don't be afraid. I will uphold you with the right hand of My righteousness. And He tells it again, don't be afraid. I've got you. I've got you not just in My heart. I've got you in My hand. Hallelujah. And for someone to come and try to hurt you, they're going to have to go through Me. And no wonder the devil wanted to turn them wrong with God. Amen. Because as long as they were right with God, you better let them alone. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I will uphold you with the right hand of My righteousness. I say to you again, don't be afraid any longer. The New Testament plays off of that. If God be for us, who can be against us? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is for you today. Even when you fall down, come unto Me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Do you know the context of that is not just the trials of life, the burdens of living in a faulty body in a fallen world, but it is the religious system that was oppressive in that day. In that day, let me just ask Sister Taylor, did you look in the mirror before you came to church to see if, you know, did you, Pamela? Pray for Pamela being so self-deprecating. I said that wrong one day and I regret it to this day. There's another word that can slip in there if you're not careful. Don't even think about it. Don't even think. Come on, Mike. Come on. I'm glad to be a Christian today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a point where you quit putting yourself down and let God lift you up. Don't lift yourself up. That's called pride. But let God lift you up. Hallelujah. That's called faith in the finished work of Jesus. Say it with me. Faith in the finished work of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What He's done for us, you've got to get a hold of it and let it get a hold of you. When I pray, I talk to my friend. I talk to my friend. I got friends in high places. Not like Brooks, what's his name? Garth. I got friends in low places where the whiskey flows and the beer chases all my blues away. I've been in some of those places, and such were some of you. But now you are washed, you are sanctified, and you are justified. I'm going to submit to you there's no greater cleansing than the blood of Jesus Christ. You are washed. Have you been to Jesus for the what kind of power? For the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's that song? When I survey the wondrous cross upon which my Savior died. That's what we're surveying today. We're looking at what He did for us on the cross. God gave His Son to us, His only begotten, and Jesus gave Himself to us as our Lamb of God to take our place on the cross. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. I will not go back under the condemnation that I was under when I first became a Christian. I never felt worthy of the Holy Spirit coming in. I had a real problem speaking in tongues or operating in the gifts because I never felt worthy. I hit the altar every service, not to get saved, but to get clean enough that this holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, could come and live within me. I never felt that clean. But in fact, I was that clean. Thank you for the amens. I never felt that clean, but in fact, I was that clean. And what made me want to live holy was not trying to feel clean, but because of the gift of righteousness and the gift of God's Son. Hallelujah. I had been made clean. Such were some of you. I went through a list of all kinds of filthy, rotten, dirty sins. And such were some of you. But you're washed. Hallelujah. You are sanctified. That's what happens when you're washed, cleansed, and set apart unto God. Hallelujah. For a holy purpose. Amen. And you are justified. Forensic term in a courtroom. When the judge acquits you and listen and says, you can no longer bring a charge against this person. They're acquitted. You can't bring an accusation. Now, you can condemn yourself, and if you want to keep being self-deprecating and keep condemning yourself and disqualifying yourself, you can keep be down on yourself and you can beat yourself into the ground. And it was those kind of people. Listen, if you looked in the mirror today to see if you got everything in place, amen, if you looked in that mirror, a Pharisee was saying that day that it was vanity that you were working on the Sabbath. And so they said a woman should not look in the mirror on the Sabbath day, because you might want to fix something. You know, something might be hanging out your nose and you'd like to remove it before you go to church. Amen? I mean, seriously. I mean, that's one of the things you do. I'm glad I saw that. And a Pharisee would say to you, you shouldn't have looked in that mirror. Because when you removed whatever it was, or when you did whatever you did, you worked on the Sabbath day. They were so down on that. They were so ridiculously, religiously in error. They put a burden on everybody. Jesus goes into the temple and there's a woman that couldn't raise up, and He calls her over. He heals her on the Sabbath day. And what did they do? They jumped right on Him for healing her on the Sabbath day. And you know what He said to them? He said, if your ox falls into the ditch on the Sabbath so he don't hurt himself further, or so some predator don't get to him and he dies, do you pull him out? It's real quiet now. Sure, they pull him out. But you can't fix your face on the Sabbath day. And you can't heal the sick. And He said, and ought not this woman, and here's where you need to get what you got, ought not this woman, a daughter of who? Of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound. If you stay down on yourself, there's a welcome mat out for the devil, because he is the what? The accuser of the brethren. If you accuse yourself, if you let your conscience continue to accuse you, you're aligning yourself with the accuser of the brethren, and that's the devil himself. But the Bible said in Revelation chapter 12, now something has changed. now, since Jesus has been to the cross, shed His blood, sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven, now is the accuser of the brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. What we're going to commemorate, what we're going to celebrate this Christmas season, this communion and every communion. Thank God I've been washed. Have you been washed? The song asks the question that begs the answer. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose some of their guilty stains and live the rest of their life under the burden of guilt. No, they lose all their guilty stains. If you want to put yourself down, that's up to you. But do not question the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Is that all right with you today? Quit questioning how clean you have been made. If God's people come up out of self-condemnation and self-deprecation, and we acknowledge that we are the children of the Most High God, and we pray to a Father that we can call Abba because of our new relationship with Him, something could never be done through Abraham, through any of the prophets of old. It would be sacrilege and blasphemy to say Abba Father to this great, glorious God. But we can, without losing any respect for Him, because we begin our prayer with our Father, which art in heaven, and then we show due reverence. Hallowed, holy, set apart be Thy name. But we know in our heart as we approach Him that He's our Abba Father, and we are the children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Such were some of you, all the myriad of sins that separate us from God, but you are washed. Hallelujah. And that's why Jesus said He loved the church, gave Himself for it, that He might present it unto Himself a glorious church. And what did He do to present us that way? He cleansed it. He cleansed it with the washing of water by the Word. Guess what's happening right now through the Word of God? There's some places in us that God wants to clean up. Amen. And that this Word and this Word from God this morning and this communion is wanting to cleanse you and me from self-condemnation and self-degradation and deprecation. Deprecation. I got it right. If I didn't, don't get it on camera. If I ever, this man can edit right here. He's good at editing me. He cuts me down to 30 minutes. We get over 1,000 hits. Anyway, move. That should tell me something, right? God is good today. You need to know. You need to get what you got. You need to get it. When we take that wafer, it's not tradition. It's not some little ritual we're going through. It is a representative of Jesus giving Himself so that we could be saved. When we pick up this cup in just a few moments and we take a sip, it is representative of this cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Now, post Calvary, post the cross, now is the what? The accuser of our brethren. Cast down, that accused them before God. That means that He still comes into the high court of heaven to bring accusations. And we can't come before the high court of heaven and deny every single one. I mean, the devil's worse than Santa Claus. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or bad. And if He finds something bad, He's going to show up in the high court of heaven to point the finger at it. He's going to magnify it. But something happened. Now you're washed. Now you are sanctified and in the high court of heaven now you are justified. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the devil, what does God do when he comes to accuse? He kicks him out of the court. You cannot. Anyone who's washed in the blood of my Son, their high priest pleads his own blood in their behalf. Their high priest stands before me and between me and the justice that would have been served. We have a high priest that represents us in heaven. And the Bible said our conscience needs to be sprinkled from evil. We're not talking about sins and temptations. We're talking about a guilty conscience. You got to get past it. Amen. Don't ever look back. If you need to get right, get right. If you need to get right now, get right. Don't leave here not right with God. So that when you pray, you know you already got his heart, but you'll actually have his ear. And if you have his ear, you're going to see his hand move. Praise God. I'm glad to be washed. I'm glad to be sanctified. And I'm glad to be justified in the name of Jesus Christ because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ today. When I heard your past, you're a candidate for psychological damage for your whole life. And there's things he couldn't probably tell about. I mean, there is enough damage here to mar him for life. But something happened to Michael, middle name. Yeah, but there's Michael B. Amen. I always think of Michael J., but... Well, he is a fox. I mean, you gotta admit he's aging pretty well, right? Michael B. Banks. Hallelujah. It'll be all right, sir. We've been washed and sanctified, justified. We're going to make it home today. We might even find some joy in this season in spite of the crazy politicians. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. But don't sweat it. There's somebody bigger than them. Hallelujah. Thank God, and there's too many Christians asking God to get involved. Amen. I've given up on trusting anybody, including myself. But I am deeply trusting the Lord today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But something happened. I remember seeing him sitting beside his grandma in church. And then I wouldn't see him. And I'd walk down the aisle when everybody's leaving and lying on the floor. Amen. Seeking God with all of his heart was Michael Schutz. Amen. And I said, God is doing something in that man's life. He was pouring oil and wine in wounds that could have marred him and marked him for life. Hallelujah. But he's been washed. He's been sanctified and he's been justified in the name of Jesus Christ. And he's here today. Hallelujah. He has problems. He has pressures. But he's got God on his side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if God be for us, that's what really matters. And is God for us? He washed us. He cleansed us. He set us apart unto himself. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal on the foundation. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Praise God. I'm so glad that he knows me, and I'm so glad that I know him today. So this Christmas, don't forget Jesus. Not just because of the babe in the manger, that's where it all began, but his steps didn't begin in Bethlehem. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Hallelujah. And they didn't end at Calvary. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to report to you today that Jesus is alive and well. And he's living in the hearts and lives of his children. And we need to let him shine. Get the bushel of self-condemnation and deprecation off of you and let your light shine. Not pridefully, but this humbles me. I represent a great king. and a kingdom of light. Hallelujah. And life and love and peace and power. So Jesus says to those people that the Pharisees were oppressing, in that context to them, and to everyone under any pressure, come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden. What did he say about his burden? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The devil wants to make your relationship with God. He wants to put a trip on you and make it a heavy burden instead of a joyous personal experience. Hallelujah. Amen. Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Your troubled mind will know that peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, he's faithful. Glory to God. He's faithful. So this Christmas, don't lose that focus on the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God. And get a hold of what you have when you have him in Jesus' name. Would you please serve us communion? So he picked up the loaf and tore it apart and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this bread in this way, do it in remembrance of me. His body broken, his blood poured out. Thank you, my friend. You may eat the bread. In St. Matthew's Gospel, it said when he took the cup, he said these words, this is the new covenant, the new testament in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink this cup, you show, according to Corinthians, you show the Lord's death. You publicly declare, we are Christians, we are saved, because of the broken body, the shed blood of Jesus. And we're going to do this until he comes. And we'll not have this Lord's Supper in token, but we will eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your shed blood this Christmas season. It's not something that brings us down. It's something that lifts us way up. In Jesus' name. You may drink the cup. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad to share Holy Communion this Christmas season. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you will go down, I think, or up. Go down. Oh, go up. Hallelujah. Hope has a name. You're almost go up. Okay. Hope has a name. How many know that the whole world is looking this Christmas season for hope? The condition of the last days has created a very helpless situation. Men's hearts failing them for fear, looking at the things that are coming upon the earth. They are prime candidates for the message that gives them hope, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we should be people who can visibly show them, not just tell them, but demonstrate to them, I have hope, and it's not in the politicians. I pray for them. They don't give me any hope. Amen. I mean, if you got hope in somebody, good for you, but I don't see it on your face. I just don't see it this morning. I don't think you got a politician that gives you hope. You hope they'll do better as you pray for them, but as far as giving you hope, it's only Jesus. Hallelujah. But thank God he's here with us. Praise the Lord. So let's be people of hope. And let's let the world know that because of that hope, they can get a hold of it because it's got a hold of us. Amen. Be ready when you go out into the work marketplace of the world to give an answer to all men for something they don't have, and that you need to get a hold of what you got and show it to them. Amen. They ask him for what? The reason for something they can't buy, they can't shoot up enough, drink up enough to get. And that's true hope. Hallelujah. That reaches beyond every circumstance of life. A hope that even death can't cancel, because it's called a lively hope, which means it's a living hope. And it was completely consummated when Jesus conquered death in our behalf and he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Let's keep hope alive in reality.